Right now, though, those NBA Finals, Game 2 tomorrow night, 6 o'clock pregame here on your home for the NBA Finals, ESPN Radio 103.3 FM. We welcome in senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. It's Mark J. Spears. What's going on, man? How are you today?
So Clarence got a radio show?
You going to do this, Mark? We've had you before, man. Stop it, man. Stop the drum.
Somehow we decided to do it. We put him on.
Gave him that prime Saturday slot, huh?
No doubt. Actually, I'm usually a nighttime guy. I'm filling in for a guy today, but, you know, I figured, you know, NBA Finals, we're talking about J.R. Smith, and we're talking about that crazy overturn call, and let me wake Mark up on the West Coast and see if he'll get up and talk to us on the radio, man.
You know I'll rap with you all day, bro.
I mean, what's more incredulous, that overturn call, the missed free throw, or J.R. dribbling to the liquor store to get some Henny?
Well, I thought the latter part was cool, but I think the thing that actually stands out to me is kind of lost is two things that led to the whole J.R. Smith fiasco. Is that George Hill misses that free throw.
Right.
You know, if he makes that free throw, Cavs probably win the game, although the Warriors might have got, you know, a last shot, Cavs probably win. Second thing, which really saved somebody, and Kevin Durant didn't box out J.R. Smith.
Right.
Kevin Durant, 6'11", J.R. Smith, like 6'3", like it's box out 101. Like, you got to box that dude out, man. You got to pinch. And I learned that in junior high. And what if he would have done what he should have done, just go back up and laid the ball in and
right.
won the game that way, you know?
Or got fouled, pumped him up and got fouled, yeah.
It would have been a long weekend for KD if that was the case. So, JR, if I'm KD and if I'm George Hill, that Henny that you're talking about, I'm getting him a bottle.
You buying him a bottle, Henny. Well, to talk about the overturn call, you know, and the NFL put out this rule and everybody said they have a right to do that. How crazy was that, though? And was it the right thing to do, and did they have the right to do that?
You know, and you guys in Dallas are certainly familiar with the catch thing and Han confused about it.
Right.
Look, I've been covering the NBA for a long time. I've never seen it, but you know, apparently after the game, Durant, you know, if you look at that replay, he you know, made a motion with his hands to look at the replay right as it happened. So
Durant did?
Apparently, yeah. So apparently, not this past season, but the season before, the Warriors had a similar situation, I believe, on the other end against the Grizzlies. And Durant remembered that. And so it's just one of those rare things that exists that doesn't happen often, and Durant remembered from the Memphis game and made sure the referees remember too. So, I mean, it's odd. I know it sounds weird, but the rule's the rule, and you got to live by the letter of the rule. So I really didn't have a problem with it.
Do you think they got it right when they went back? Did they make the right call in switching that?
I think so. I think so. I mean, it's just certainly momentum switching. And I actually feel bad. I don't feel bad for the NBA referees because they make a nice salary. And I don't feel bad for them because nobody's forced them to do this job. But their job is extremely hard. And for any official, when you got all these different camera angles, everything's in slow motion. They don't referee in slow motion. Obviously, they had time to look at it. But, you know, their job is really, really tough, man, especially as athletic and quick as the game is now. But, yeah, I mean, it certainly was curious at that time of the game. But, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons why, the Warriors got lucky. And that was one of them.
They got lucky, and Cleveland got unlucky because they were primed to steal that game. You had that 51 performance by LeBron. Yeah. Can you just talk about his performance and what you saw from him and, you know, and how he's playing in his playoffs?
Well, first of all, on the first part, you said, you know, first part, one, you know, losses like that sting, man. This isn't a regular season loss.
Right.
This is the first of four. You can't get it back. If you lose a series, if it, you know, goes seven or something like that, you think back to that game one. That's why it teaches both teams that every play really matters. Every possession matters. Every pass, every, because you never know if you have a tight game like that. And because of that, we saw one of the greatest performances in NBA history scoring-wise, and we're not talking about it.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason why that's the fourth thing you guys ask about, because they lost the game in such odd exclamation fashion. Like, it was such an odd ending that we're not talking about a 51-point performance, an amazing performance. And, you know, I don't know that LeBron does it again. I know he'll be amazing, but I do expect the Warriors to, you know, change defensively and not allow him to have so many one-on-one situations, perhaps guard him, which I didn't understand. I mean, you just had James Harden and figured out how to be successful against him. They certainly have to try to guard him in similar fashion.
You kind of mentioned it. I mean, the idea that losses like that sting, and Chill and I both were thinking, you know, Warriors in five, but was that, I don't want to say their only chance to steal one for Cleveland, obviously, but it makes it feel like that just kind of hanging over them. I mean, if you're Cleveland, how do you bounce back from the way they lost that game?
Well, one, I think the main thing is they know they can compete with them. I mean, you almost beat them at Golden State, so there's no reason for them not to feel confident. So the loss, to me, it wasn't like they got beat by 30. They got beat on mistakes, you know. So they know that they can compete with them now. And so I think that's a big motivating factor for them. It's just I think they got to be creative. I've kind of been curious about the players that they played, the rotation. You got a guy named Rodney Hood, who I'm writing about today, who averaged 16 for Utah and can't play, gets DMPs. I don't understand that. He was an amazing scorer that the Warriors were certainly fearful of when he was with the Jazz, but then he goes to Utah and he just disappears.
Right.
Seti Osman, I don't know if you guys know too much about him. Like, he's a really good young player, long. Before he got hurt, he was really coming around, and then he comes back from injury, and he shelved. So, I don't know. I mean, if I was Ty Lue, I might also be a more, you know, creative with my roster than what he's doing, because I don't think that roster is as bad as we're making it out to be.
Yeah, and if I was Ty Lue, I'd have called a timeout too. You know, as you said, it gave them confidence, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Golden State blew them out in game two, just because they didn't play well.
Chill,
they didn't play well at all to the overtime. They just started looking like Golden State to the overtime.
Chill. I'm going to tell you why to chill. That focus is so up and down.
That's what I'm talking about. Right.
I don't know what Warriors team is going to show up every game.
Or every quarter. It goes from quarter to quarter.
If they show up and decide that we're not going to be privileged today and we want to play, they could beat anybody by 15, 20.
Headline tomorrow. ESPN's undefeated said the Warriors got white privilege.
I didn't say white. You said white. I said the word don't give me trouble in the South. I got family there, man. I got my Uncle Squeak out there. I got my cousin Jeffrey and Ron. I don't need no slow song singing and flower bringing for that.
Okay, before we let you go, I know you got to go. LeBron creeped up on Jordan in this GOAT conversation. You're old school. Who you got? And LeBron passed him yet or what?
Magic Johnson is the greatest player I've ever played
again. There you go. It's like Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors. Everybody got their favorite.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the finals,
man.
Are you
asking me who the second best player ever?
Yeah, second best. Yeah. Who's the second best?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He got the most titles. He won on high school, college, and pros. It's hard to argue.
Yeah.
And the most points.
Beauty is an eye of the beholder, man.
There you go. Hey, man, enjoy the finals, man. I appreciate you taking a little time with us on this Saturday. Your day off, I hope.
Well, no, it ain't. But, you know, you're my guy, so I'm going to come on. You know that.
All right, man. Appreciate you. See you down the road.
All right, y'all. Take care.
All right, there he is. Mark J. Spears from ESPN's The Undefeated with some good stuff.